Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Lisa Schultheis. And with her, she's brought her wonderful company, Electra Lime Marketing. And Lisa, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so thrilled to have you. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
I hope that you are ready to have some fun. I'm thrilled to be chatting with you today because you know I'm one of your very, very biggest fans.
Thank you.
So our topic today is mastering the world of virtual clients and virtual sales. And I'm really excited about this because, boy, I think that this is becoming so important more and more every single day for all of us in any industry. Whether or not it's a nonprofit that you run, if you're in corporate America, if you're an entrepreneur with your own business, the clients just are no longer right in your own backyard anymore. And I would believe that, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I know you agree.
Correct.
I'm amazed,
absolutely,
especially in your business, Lisa, how many of your clients are all over the place. And I'm dying to know how you manage. You have such a huge amount of business that's, you know, all over the country, and I know for a fact that so many of your clients just rave about you and how what you do. So I just want to dive right in. Tell me, what percentage of your clients are virtual?
Actually, I hadn't thought about it before this show, so I actually sat down to calculate it out, and it's actually 95%. I have 21 clients that I'm managing at the moment, and only two of them are local.
Oh, my gosh, Lisa. I mean, I knew it was a lot, but 95%? That's insane.
I knew it was a lot, too. I didn't realize how big that number was till last night.
Wow. Now, first off, I want to give our listeners a picture. You're in a little tiny town where?
I live in a town called Port Washington, which is 30 minutes due north of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we are right on Lake Michigan.
Okay, and I'm going to sound like a little San Diego snob and go, I'm so sorry. Only because I know you'll laugh because you, I want to use this, I'm going to help you and I'm going to use this platform a little bit here because you want to come out to sunny California. So if any of our listeners know of a way, let's tell them to get your lovely husband Dave a job out here in sunny San Diego, by all means, what does he do? Give the 20 seconds pitch. What does he do? Because we want you out here with us. We want to help you. You know what it's all about, helping and connecting people. So let's not only talk about what you do in your job, let's get Dave a job out here in San Diego, right? I mean, come on now.
Oh, my goodness. No, he does international supply chain and transportation and logistics and all of those things that I don't necessarily understand. I understand enough to get by with him, but that is what he does. He actually does love his job. He is responsible for all of South America. And so he gets to travel a lot and loves what he does. So we'll see what happens if we ever decide to move out here.
Yeah. So you're living in this little town in Wisconsin. So for your business especially, virtual clients are very important. And if you're working with 95% of your clients being virtual, what is the main challenge between for you? Because you didn't start virtual. I'm sure that, you know, when you started your business, and your current business I know has been up and running for about 5 years, but you've been doing this for about 7 now. You had on-site clients originally, correct?
I had some originally, correct. It was probably about 50% of them.
Okay. So what did you find was the main challenge between a virtual client and an on-site client? You know, what are the differences, and how do you deal with those, and what are the main challenges?
You know, as silly as it may sound, one of the biggest challenges is when you're speaking to a virtual client, unless if you are on a webinar type system with them, you can't see their face. You can't see their expressions. You can't read their body language. And so there's many times that you'll be speaking with somebody on the phone, and whether there's an issue or there's not an issue, just trying to, you know, follow that body language. And, you know, a lot of times people will react differently than what's coming out of their mouth necessarily, and you don't get the privilege of seeing that. That's actually one of the biggest challenges, is learning how to get around that and to really listen and key into what they're saying and their tone of voice and, you know, how everything is coming across. So that's probably been one of the biggest challenges. The other one would really be getting them to trust you. You know, they can't see your face. They can't shake your hand. And so for them to trust you initially to even agree to work with you can be a little bit of a challenge.
So what have you learned over the years from your experience? What helps to build that trust?
You know, I've tended to, a lot of my clients come by referral, so obviously that helps right there, because I have, you know, wonderful people such as you and some other people that will, you know, refer people to me and say, you know, you have to talk to Lisa, and that definitely helps. For people that are calling me out of the blue or find me online, then you spend a lot of time cultivating that. I will spend time looking at their presence online, look at their website, look at their social media accounts, look at, you know, anything that I can find on them online, and it's almost like a friendly stalking, which I hate to use that word, but that way I can find out more about them and what their personality is and what their business is and who their clients are. And so it gives us a starting point to actually start those conversations. And then you learn that different people have, you know, they have different personalities, they have different tones of voices, and you have to be very attuned to that as to how somebody may be presenting themselves on the phone. And I ask a lot of questions, as you know. So if I'm not clear on something, or if I'm concerned that something is, you know, maybe there might be a problem, I will be sure to ask questions. I will be the first one to ask the question to make sure that everything is okay and that we are on the same page.
Gotcha. Had you over the time, I know that from having worked with you in the past, right now you don't use face-to-face like Skype or anything like that. Have you tried it in the past?
I use it on occasion. It really depends on the client. I've used it a couple of times, and it's funny because most clients don't really want to be on a Skype or webinar video system. A lot of people that I work with are entrepreneurs, so that, you know, they think that they have to go do their hair and do their makeup and dress nicely and things like that, and they don't really even want to deal with that. So we've used it if necessary. I do webinar systems a lot for training after the fact, but in terms of, you know, official meetings, we really do rely on the phone.
Yeah, I've found the same thing. As a business coach, I would love to get face-to-face just to be able to kind of have that warm connection, really kind of, like you're saying, feel more in touch and engaged. And the minute I say, you know, let's do a video chat, they instantly go, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, it's the same thing. It's so interesting. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
What are two or three of the key fundamentals that you focus on in order to achieve your objective when you're working with a new virtual client?
Well, one of the first things that I do is I still absolutely work with a contract. I do a very specific outlined contract as to what they're going to get. I, you know, tell them exactly what the timetables are, what the costs are going to be, and so it really helps to outline expectations for both sides of us. You know, the fence. You know, they know what they're going to get from me, and I know I can actually have a checklist to go back and say, yes, of these 10 items, I have 9 done. I still have to do number 10. And so working with that contract has really helped to, you know, put those expectations out on the floor so that everybody knows what we're doing. And just because it is virtual, if, you know, God forbid anything ever happened where there was a conflict, and thankfully that has never happened, but if something were to happen, then, you know, we do have that outlined in there as well as to how that works out because we're in two different locations and two different jurisdictions and all of that crazy stuff that you leave to the lawyers. So that is in there, and that has really, really helped and has been vital. And then really communication is huge. Most of my communication is via email. I am the queen, as you know, of bullet-pointed lists. I will send emails that say, you know, here are the five things I need from you. Here are the, you know, five things I need to send to you. And I break those things down to make sure that everybody knows exactly what we need to do on both sides. So I love my bullet-pointed list. I'm an organization freak when it comes to that. And I probably drive a few of them crazy, but it definitely helps us communicate and make sure that we are on the same page. So, you know, communication's huge. I am constantly emailing them back and forth. And we do phone calls on, you know, we'll do scheduled calls if necessary. Some people like calls. Some people don't. Some people like email. Some people don't. And so we just make sure that we're using the mode of communication that they are most comfortable with. And then the third one really is at project closure. I do a virtual walkthrough of the project. So, for example, if I just built a website with them, I will, at that point, we do a webinar, and we walk through the website together so that they know all the areas that they can click. They know all the areas that they cannot click, or they might blow up the website. you know, we send them complete documentation that says, you know, to add a blog post, do this. You know, steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. To add a picture, do this. Steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we do a virtual walkthrough closure of every project to make sure that they understand what they have now in their hands and to make sure that we really did deliver those 10 or 20 pieces of the project that we needed to do.
Wow. Let me tell you, I remember the first time I saw one of your contracts. First off, as a business coach, can I just say I'm on my feet, like tapping and, you know, doing high fives, and I'm running around the room right now going, yay, because I think so few people understand the importance of a contract if they're a self-employed small business owner. I think companies get it. They use them all the time. But so few small business owners, I think, really understand the value of it and the importance of it, especially when they're working like a solo entrepreneur to a solo entrepreneur. So I give you such kudos. I think you're a great role model when it comes to that. And you write some amazing bitchin' contracts, I'll tell you. They are so clear. They're so thorough, all of that. And you probably don't hear the word bitchin' in Wisconsin very often, but, you know, I'm a SoCal girl. So but it's true, true. You write great, great, great contracts, and I applaud you because they are very thorough, they're very well done, they're very clear, and you make it really, really great for your clients. So kudos to you. It's just wonderful. The whole process sounds like it's so clear and so spot on. You definitely have a well-oiled machine there. So I want to kind of shift a little bit and talk about what your opinions are about what's going on in the online marketing world. Just to be clear for our listeners, can you describe for me some primary areas in the online marketing world that you currently deal with? Things like, I know you do like websites and social media page setups, and I want to talk a little bit about, you're certified as a Infusionsoft, is that correct?
Infusionsoft.
Infusionsoft. I'm telling you, this is why I'm so good to be interviewing you, because I'm even going to make sure our listeners, when I use the acronym CRM, I want to make sure even the most basic people listening, a CRM is a customer relations management tool, helping us to take our database and put it all together in one and create drip campaign systems and all of those good things. When it comes to that, Infusionsoft as a certified rep, in all of these areas, two questions. Which do you find are the most active, or let's call them up-and-coming, for your clients? And then which do you find are the most challenging or inconsistently used for your clients?
Well, you know, in terms of those, in terms of the up-and-coming, you know, social media is obviously a constant changing media and can be very frustrating. So it actually will probably go with both of those questions for you. So it's not necessarily the most up-and-coming because it's been here for a while, but it definitely is ever-changing. It seems like every time I turn around, Facebook has changed something or Twitter has changed something, or now LinkedIn has jumped into that race, and they are changing things almost faster than Twitter and Facebook combined. So those are definitely very, very active. But, you know, websites are still very, very critical. You know, I always tell people you can do as much as you want on social media, but you never own those lists and you can never sell. You know, if you want to sell, people have to come back to your website to buy. They have to have a portal to come back to. And so websites are crucial, and a lot of people will treat those as almost like an online brochure. You know, I'm going to put my information up once, I'm good for the next 20 years. And, you know, websites are a very living object these days, and a lot of engagement and a lot of interaction. And so those are one of the biggest areas that I tell people they need to really make sure that they are highlighting it and visiting it and going back to it and making sure that the information on there is current. You know, things change. Speaking programs change. Products change. Prices change. And keeping people informed and giving them information is crucial. So the website, I think, is probably one of the most crucial ones at this point. And then you mentioned Infusionsoft. You know, right now I meet so many entrepreneurs who, you know, they have their email marketing in one system, and then they have their lead generation in another system, and then they have their sticky note system on their computers and their desktops. And, you know, none of these systems talk to each other, and so it's very difficult for them to keep track of everything and to manage everything. And so, you know, whether it's Infusionsoft or another system, finding that system to help integrate everything and manage all those different pieces of the online marketing, I think, is very, very important. So Those are definitely two very active and up-and-coming. And, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs don't really even know about CRMs and how much easier they can make their life by using them. So, you know, and just in terms of challenging or inconsistently used, you know, some of the challenging is just the technology. You know, business owners get very overwhelmed with technology. It comes at them very, very quickly. And so they know that they should be doing these things, but they don't either know how to do them, or they don't even want, you know, many of these things are not that difficult, but they do take time. And so they don't have the time, or they don't want to spend the time, which is fine as well. But they can become very overwhelmed with that. So they need to make that decision as to whether they're going to manage those items or if they're going to actually outsource those items, because they are very important, but they may not be the right thing for them to spend their time on. And so that's a huge challenge, I think, for all of us. I mean, I find that challenge as well with, you know, what am I going to outsource? What am I willing to give up? You know me, I'm a control freak, so giving things up is a hard thing for me. But there are things that you just have to outsource because it's not worth your time. You need to focus on building your business, and managing one of these other things may not be, you know, the best use of your time. So making those decisions can be very challenging for the clients. And then inconsistently, you know, it can be anything. It can be social media. You know, many, many people are inconsistent with social media just because we have really good intentions when we start, and then life happens. But also really, I think, you know, managing leads is huge. You know, I will ask people, you know, who is your target market? Where are your leads coming from? What's your average, you know, turnaround on getting a lead signed? And they have no idea. Because they don't track it. They don't have a way to track it. So that's very inconsistent with entrepreneurs and, you know, even some of the medium-sized businesses. They really don't know. I'm working with a medium-sized business now that, you know, they're a pretty big business, and they don't have an opt-in form on their website. They have no lead capture capabilities on their website whatsoever, and they only rely on social media for lead capture. Well, they don't own those leads. Facebook does, Twitter does. So we're doing a lot of education in that area.
Wow, that's a kind of a scary thought.
Absolutely, because they can decide at any point that, you know, you could post something that they don't agree with, and they say it's against their terms of service. They can take your account down in seconds. And this particular client, they have 45,000 Facebook followers and no opt-in on their website. So they have 45,000 contacts that they would lose.
Oh, my gosh, that's a scary thing. Sounds like they need you, Lisa.
We're doing a website redo for them as we speak.
Very good, very good, very good. Well, I'm making myself a note to get on your calendar next week. I need some, we're going to be talking more about my website, as you know, so this is good news. Okay, so tell me something. I want to know, oh, and let me ask this question. Is part of the services that you offer managing someone's website?
question again? I'm sorry.
That's okay. So part of the services that you offer actually managing somebody's website.
Yes, absolutely. So if they have an existing website and they need somebody to do updates on them or even, you know, post their blog posts or things like that, we do manage websites as long as they're in WordPress. We only work with WordPress websites.
Okay, got it. Great. Good to know. Good to know. So tell me, with your successful background in online marketing, what do you contribute that achievement of success to? I mean, what's the thing that you, when you look back, you think, you know, this is the one thing I've done well, and that's a real core piece of what I've done over the years that has really helped my business or helped me to be successful in this industry?
You know, I think one of the biggest things is just really working hard. It goes back to making those relationships. I have worked very, very hard over the last 5 years and have made, you know, a lot of trips to different locations to make sure that I am making those contacts. And, you know, once those contacts are made, just making sure that I'm really delivering what I promise people I'm going to deliver. You know, it amazes me. I don't know how many people who have contacted me that, you know, they were working with somebody on a project and that person just disappeared off the face of the earth and left them hanging. And it just, it makes me shudder. And so just making sure that I'm really, you know, delivering what I've promised, that obviously totally affects the relationship. And I've spent a lot of time and energy developing both of those areas.
Fantastic. And I think there's a marketing line out there of some sort for any business out there, you know, picking up the pieces of the person that just failed you. Just taking the leftover business from those businesses that can't keep their promises. Isn't that terrible? But true. So if that was,
it's true, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. If that's an example of what contributed to your success, every interviewee that I bring on, I say, okay, this is all the good stuff, but we've all had struggles. What has been one of your biggest struggles when it's come to business development for your business?
You know, for me, it was really figuring out where to start. This business was built out of necessity. I was working with a single client, and he stopped paying me for 18 months, which gets your attention.
Oh.
He ran out of money, and it wasn't devious. It was just he ran out of money and fully intended to pay me, and he eventually did. But it was, you know, a matter of, okay, if I can do this with one client, then I need to be able to do this with 30. And so it was really just developing the business and knowing where to look to find the women. I think the other thing for me was really being willing to charge what I was worth versus just willing to take a job. You know, at the beginning, I know I took a lot of little jobs that I probably shouldn't have, or I should have, and I should have actually charged what I was worth. And so really just that initial development piece, it was really hard for me to determine, you know, where I was going to find the work, what type of work I was specifically going to do, and then, you know, how I was really going to charge it. I didn't, you know, I started out charging $10 an hour way back when, so it's
okay.
Definitely been a process and a path for me that I have traveled over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah. You know, I relate to that so much because I know when I launched my coaching and consulting business, I almost think in the beginning we're so grateful for somebody to say yes and pay us, period, and we feel like we've got to earn our stripes, that we undercharge just for the opportunity. We get that mentality. And I remember the first year I was in the business, I looked back and I went, okay, I underpriced myself a lot that first year. I'm not going to do it this year. You know, you start to gain some of that confidence. And it's true. I wonder to myself, especially, you know, you made the comment, and we, as a women-based, you know, radio show, we talk a lot about, you know, we love our men, but how are we different and what could we do better and how can we improve as women in business? And I absolutely believe that, you know, men go in, they've got strong egos and confidence going in, and they go, no, you know, I'm worth it from the get-go. And I do think that we have that opportunity to kind of build up a little bit more of that confidence. I couldn't agree more. So, okay, I've got a couple of sentences here I would love for you to kind of expand on, give a little bit of your thoughts. So when you complete this, your website is critical because?
Oh, because it showcases who you are. A website that's difficult to navigate or missing contact information or visually unappealing can really hurt you. So you want to make sure that it's really showcasing who you are and what you do.
Okay, great. Being active on social media is critical because?
Because it allows your potential clients and customers to start that relationship with you and to start that conversation with you and to learn your personality.
Okay. Having a good customer relation management tool is critical because?
Oh, this one's easy because it saves you time. A good CRM can really automate a lot of your daily tasks and interactions, so you don't have to keep track of each one. It just magically, you know, will do things in the background for you. So it definitely will save you time.
Okay, so I got to ask because, you know, I'm in the midst of, you know, launching into my CRM. And at what point does that happen? Because in the beginning, it just seems like it's going to take a lot of time. I've talked to people who have said, gosh, it took me 2 years before I really got to the point where I was so efficient with my CRM that now it's bringing me leads and it's running smoothly. And, I mean, the learning curve seems so big. Is that true?
It can be true, but what I have found is if you plan ahead and you know what you want it to do, that makes it a lot easier. People kind of will approach it as they purchase the CRM and they almost think it's going to come all together in a box ready to go, and CRMs are very individualized, so you want them to do different things for different businesses. And so if you plan ahead, you know, I always tell my clients, think of what you want, you know, think of one thing that you would love not to have to deal with every day and have it automated in your CRM, and ask me if it's possible. And 90% of the time, I'm going to tell you yes, and then we can sit down and build it. So it's really just sitting down and planning and saying, you know, I would love to not have to sit here and send follow-up emails to a contract that hasn't been returned after 7 days. I want the system to do that automatically for me so I don't have to keep track. So really being able to identify those different areas that you want to be able to automate is huge.
Okay, so and it sounds like just purchasing the CRM isn't enough. It sounds as though purchasing the CRM and then working with, maybe not forever, but initially at least, some sort of an expert or CRM consultant to at least get you set up and rocking and rolling is pretty much a very good necessity or recommendation. Because I know people have said, well, I signed up for XYZ CRM. I'm paying the money every month, but trying to get in and learn the system as just Joe Blow on the street is probably going to be a little overwhelming without really working with somebody initially if you really want to get up and running in a pretty decent amount of time. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely. And different companies will handle it different ways. Infusionsoft actually requires you to do a setup package initially because they know the importance for it. Other CRMs will give it to you as an option.
Okay. Gotcha. Great. Well, Lisa, I think that there's a very good chance, because of all the wonderful information and the services that you offer, that we may have listeners that may want to reach you after our show. How would you like our listeners to contact you? Can you give out some of your contact information?
Absolutely. They can email me directly. My email address is lisatralime.com. So that is ELECTRALIM, as in Mary E, .com, so electralime.com, or they can go to my website, which is just electralime.com.
Fantastic. Lisa, thank you so much. I mean, you are my goddess of online marketing, you know that, and I appreciate you taking the time with us today. If you are listening, and I want to thank you again for joining us, I want you to please continue to check in with me. I am Deanna Potter, no relation to Harry, but I will also do magic with your business, offering you speaking, corporate training, and coaching services for small business owners. Please join us next month for Sassy Sales and Business Development, and don't miss one of our continuing weekly radio shows here on Connected Women of Influence and Blog Talk Radio. So thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful Monday. Bye-bye, everybody.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.